This is lesson three, the spin cycle. And God is transforming something. He's making something out of you. Last couple of weeks, we talked about it. We defined the difference between seasons and cycles. Don't have time today to go back into all of that. But lesson two, last week, we talked about breaking cycles that can come from generations and learned behaviors and patterns you might have picked up, whether you learned it or you were brought up in some dysfunction. Everybody has a little bit of dysfunction. If you don't, you're dysfunctional because you think you don't. Amen? You're full of arrogance and pride, so that's dysfunction. And then today we're going to deal with the spin cycle. It's going to be a good time. How many are ready for the word of the Lord? I picked two prophets to speak to us that just popped out to me. The topic is the potter's wheel. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I have, feasted on it all week. And the week before that, Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. And so this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. I mean, no, there's nothing like a word from the Lord. I don't care what you're going through. If you're in a spin cycle, if you're in a place where it seems out of control, you definitely need a word from the Lord. And I'm glad he is a speaking God. Amen? So a word from the Lord. Here's what it was. Verse 2, go down to the potter's house. And there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I love this. I saw him working at the wheel. How many know God is at work this morning? Said, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. Sound familiar? So the potter formed it into another pot, praise God, shaping it as he seemed best to him or as it was good to the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, he said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you, Israel, in my hands. Amen. Isaiah 29:16 is the other portion of scripture. I'm going to give you two portions of scripture from two prophets to talk about one message. And that was Jeremiah. This is Isaiah. 29:16, you talking to Israel, you turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. So what is formed say to the one who formed it, you did not make me? Can the pot say to the potter, you know nothing? Powerful. Two different perspectives. Jeremiah is coming from the thoughts of God, the potter, his father. And Isaiah is coming from the clay, the uncomfortable, complaining, angry, mad, disturbed, perturbed clay, who has the idea that they are smarter than the potter. So Isaiah tells Israel, who do you think you are? Or you think you're smarter than the one who's formed you, created you, and made you? You're questioning God as though you are smarter than God. How many know you're never going to be smarter than God? If I could get one amen today, that one should have been the one. You're never going to be smarter than God. So we have two texts and a powerful image of the potter and the clay. And if you can see the one with the table there, his feet are on the turning wheel, the spinning wheel there, and the pot is on the turning plate there. And the plate is spinning, and the hand of the Lord is making us. That is the picture. And Chrissy put some vessels out here. This is the finished product. But can I tell you, it's a long way from a piece of clay to a beautiful vessel. And God's got a lot of work to do in you and in me. If you're willing to be made by the hand of the potter, somebody ought to shout amen. So this is what's happening. This is an old time potter's wheel. So the potter gets at the table with his feet. He's moving spinning the shaft that's going up. He's spinning the plate. And with his hands, he's pressing and he's molding. There's a whole lot of work to do prior to even getting on the wheel in the first place. But God has something in his mind. He saved you. He chose you. He called you. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. And he's making something good out of you and me. Aren't you glad for that? And so it's something that we ought to be praising the Lord for. We talked last week about the yoke of bondage being broken, cycles of destruction being broken. And sometimes, even if you maybe don't have dysfunction, sometimes life gets so busy when you're in the process and maybe on the wheel, and you forget, as Israel definitely forgot, things were spinning out of control, and they wanted to try to control. I know Oak Grove and any visitor today don't have any issues of control freaks. There's no control freaks here today. Maybe the one who's holding the mic, but no, other than that, nobody else has issues. But God is making something in the process. It's important that you get this. The anointing of the Holy Spirit can break the yoke of bondage. And whether it's generational or any other thing, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds. What's stopping you? What's hindering you? Paul said to the Galatians, hey, you did run well. What happened? Who bewitched you? Who tricked you? Who slowed you down? Who stopped you from being an instrument in the hand of the awesome God? So nobody needs to stay in a destructive cycle. And we know that the presence of God is available, amen? And the name of Jesus is powerful, and the word of God is invincible, and the people of God are unstoppable. You are the people of God, and he's making something out of you. He's building an army. How many know God is going to breathe very soon? He's going to breathe on these bones, and they're going to come together, and he's going to make a mighty army out of us. He's going to bring in the last day's harvest. That's what I believe. How many believe revival is on the way? Somebody praise the Lord. I'm believing God for breakthrough, but your season is on the way. You can't give up. You can't give in. Jesus is ready to break through. I think church sometimes gets in the way of God and his people. Church does. The mechanics of going to church and doing the church thing. And sometimes I think Jeremiah went by the potter's house. Every day I think he saw this potter's house. But God gave him a word and said, hey, I want you to go to the potter's house. I'm about to show you something. I'm about to tell you a message. And he's speaking to his own people, Israel. And he's saying to them, I've got you on the wheel. And I've got a perspective from both of these. I just want to tell you that today that God is going to help us to break through a cycle, another cycle, not caused maybe by past generations or present personal instigated by your own self, but by God's sanctified transformation. God has a purpose for placing you on the wheel. And the potter has wisdom that we don't have. He sees what we don't yet see. He knows what we don't know. He has the ability and the privilege and the audacity to spin as fast as he wants and press as hard as he wants. And whether we understand it or not, he's God. Amen. There's two things I know. I haven't learned a lot, but there's two things I've learned. One of them, there is a God, and I'm not him. And so, God's trying to shape us into something wonderful, but it's in the spin cycle. So two prophets, powerful picture, forming a vessel on a potter's wheel, and Jeremiah, his thoughts in the original, were applied to the nation of Israel, but I believe how many thinks there's some serious application for us? And then Isaiah, of course, is got the other one. So the first thing I noticed was he sees things from the potter's perspective. What is the potter thinking? That's Jeremiah. He said, hey, go down to the potter's house. I'm going to put you and show you a very picture of the picture that I showed you of the potter there and making these vessels. And the potter has different vessels, different sizes, different shapes, different needs for each vessel. And they need to be airtight. Some of them are going to hold liquid or water or whatnot. And how many know it's a process of making sure it's not quick, it's not cheap, it's not easy. How many know serving God is a process? And I think we have this quick, easy religion today, this quick, easy grace. Come in, say a prayer, and that's all you need. How many know you got to work at it? Paul said fear and trembling. You got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God has a plan to get you where he wants to get you. And Isaiah has a different perspective. We'll get to his. But let's look at a couple of principles, first of all. Number one is we are the clay. I mean, basically, two perspectives, two prophets, one picture. And Jeremiah gives us that image. But I already told you that. But we are the clay. We're not the clays. You know, the clays are sitting in the back. That's the clays. We love the Clays. We are the clay. Singular, right? We are basically, I just came to encourage you. You ain't nothing but a lump of dirt. You got this for free, friends, for free. The way Jeremiah sees it, he tells us what the potter is thinking. He sent Jeremiah down to look at this clay, and Genesis 2:7 says, Adam was formed of the dust of the ground, and God, who formed him, breathed into his nostrils, and the breath of life came into man, and he became a living soul. The Hebrew is Adama, which is dirt. It's really clay. It's red clay. Adam, you came from dirt. And guess what? When you die, you're going to go right back to it until Jesus, the cycle breaker, comes and changes your carnal tent body into a spiritual body, and we shall be with the King forever. Amen? In the meantime, God formed us and breathed the Holy Spirit, the Ruach. He breathed the Holy Spirit into Adam. He became a living soul. Same thing he did for Abraham. He was Abraham, father of the flesh. And then he became Abraham, right? Abram became Abraham. He's the father of many nations with the Spirit. How many know the Spirit was breathed in? Just like Ezekiel said, the Spirit is going to breathe into those bones and the army is going to come alive and God's making something. He's not finished with you. Listen, friends, that's good news. I hope he don't leave us in the shape we're in right now. Amen? And so even Sarai became Sarah, right? Ruach, the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing what he did in their life, and we'll get to it in a little bit. But in our physical state, we're dirt, we're red clay formed from God. We're formed from God, by God, and for God. You were created in his image for his purpose. And whatever you do, whatever vessel you are, is made in his image for his purpose, for his glory. And God wants to use you. And everybody has a unique purpose because everybody is a unique vessel. Vessels of honor, even vessels of dishonor, they're all vessels. How many know they're small, some are big, they're all different, but they all are in the mind of the potter when he's on the wheel. In fact, before he even gets to the wheel, okay, there's a process. It's just clay. It's just clay. And it has to be in the process, he has to, before he even gets it on the wheel, he has to blop it. Or needed. I looked up, I didn't go to a pottery shop this week. I wanted to. It ran out of time. But I looked it up, and there's a process in pottery. How many's ever done pottery? You know what blopping is or kneading is. You know you knead it like you would do dough. I guess you need dough to get the bubbles out of the dough. So when you bake the dough, it doesn't plop and big old bubble on top of the... When I eat the rolls at Golden Corral, eat the bubble, I eat it all. But the purpose of the kneading, it's what I heard is that they put a table about waist high. They take that clay and they put it down so that you can press it into each other, fold it. There's a unique way to press that clay, and the purpose is press it into itself so that you're pressing out all the air bubbles that when it gets to be on the wheel or even especially in the fire, that when they heat it up, when things get heated, it doesn't burst and make a big bubble in whatever the vessel is. Are y'all with me? This is the process. I don't have time to go through it all, but Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, God's trying to transform us. Amen? He says, we are earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not about us. I said, church, it's not about us. This culture today is me culture. It's all about me. In fact, I talk to people and they're church hopping, church selecting, choosing. It's kind of consumeristic. They're looking for, I ask them all the time, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Well, I mean, when I walk in, I probably would like for you to probably take off my shoes and massage my feet and maybe give me some coffee with some, you know, give me a recliner on the front, you know, like at the movie. Can't go to the movie when you got to recline. You know what? That's hard to watch a movie when you're sleeping. Not that I eat popcorn and hot dogs or anything before. But church is not supposed to be there to make you comfortable. And guess what? God's process is not to make you comfortable either. It's to make you useful, purposeful. And so there's a process that takes place. And Paul says we're all being made. In fact, the NIV says jars of clay formed by the potter. Isaiah 64:8. I don't know if that's up there. We can look at it. Here's what I just read. But Isaiah 64:8 also. Now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. And we are the work of your hands. We are the work of your hands. God is doing something. Amen. And then the thought is from Jeremiah that we are the apex of his creation. If you don't get this truth, you're not going to understand the rest of it when we get to the spin cycle. Not going to understand it. But we are the clay. And secondly, he is the potter. Okay, this is very deep. I hope you don't miss it. We are the clay. We're not the potter. And Isaiah is trying to help us in Jeremiah. In fact, 10:23, he controls it all. Oh, Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Man can't control things. Can I tell you? There's a lot of things that are out of your control. It's the potter's privilege to make whatever vessel he wants to make. He allows us the option, though, to choose to be made to fulfill his purpose and plan. So it's a process. If the clay doesn't submit to the potter, you're going to have a mess. Are y'all hearing me? Are y'all listening to me? And so although God is in control, he allows us to choose. And he has a work as the potter. And throughout the complete process, he is looking for submission. You got one job to do. I look throughout the scriptures. I see many times where God said, I only want you to do one thing. I can take you back to the beginning in Genesis. Hey, just do one thing here. Here, you can eat of the tree, any of these trees. Just don't eat this tree. You got one thing to do. Don't eat from this tree. But they ate all the other options. But not today. We're going to eat the one you said not to eat. And I guess we've forgotten that there's consequences for our choices. We'll talk about that next week. But I just want you to know that for a vessel or a lump of clay to form into his purpose for the pot, we have to submit to the potter. Does he need a vessel that needs to hold water? Well, the process is going to be more gruesome. A whole lot more kneading, a lot more pressing, a lot more pushing. It's going to take a little longer. He's going to spin a little faster or slower or whatever he knows. Can I tell you? He knows. He's making you. And guess what? He doesn't make any mistakes. And so, Romans 9:20-21, I think we have that up there. Amplified. I love the Amplified Bible. I love to read the Word of God in the Amplified. It just amplifies it. I know that sounds awesome. But on the contrary, he says, who are you? It sounds like he's quoting Isaiah. Who are you, O man, who answers arrogantly back to God and dares to defy him? Will the thing which is formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Have you ever gotten in the mirror and tell the Lord a few things about what he could have improved on? I mean, I maybe have had that thought once or twice that if I were in charge of America, certainly probably think I could whip her into shape. Or if I were in charge of Oak Grove Assembly of God, tell you what I'd do. Hey, how many ever done that? Kind of feel foolish. God is in charge of all of it. I've had people tell me, well, if I was married, if that was my children, I'd tell you what I'd do. If that was my child, I'd tell you what I would do with my child. They wouldn't do that on my watch. And you look at their children, they're running in the streets. I'm going to watch it. I said, watch it when you look around comparing and critiquing. You could get a dose that you don't want of what you're dishing out. So there's nothing in the clay that enables it to realize its potential. God knows your potential. God knows what he's making you. If you'll listen to the voice of the Spirit and if you'll yield to the Holy Spirit and just let him make you, stop kicking. I can imagine that whenever Saul of Tarsus was going and doing what he thought with all kinds of passion was the righteous, holy thing to do. I'm going to knock anybody out who's trying to follow this Jesus, people of the way. I'm going to be the hero. I'm going to just destroy the whole sect of people. They are not holy. They are not God's people. So he goes around bullying and everything, God had the last say there. And God knocks Paul off, down. I don't know if he was on a horse, but he knocks him down to the dirt, gets him down where he's used to being, where he needs to be. See, I think pride and arrogance elevates self, and you forget where you came from. On your best day, the most valuable thing in your flesh is probably the water you drank this morning. And that's not worth that much. But how many know it's the one who is in you, as Leah just so adequately, powerfully sang. How many know the kingdom of God is in you? You have this treasure in an earthen vessel. It's not the cup. It's not the pot. It's what's in the pot. It's Jesus in you that's the hope of glory. Nothing to do with you. So why would you kick against the one who's making you more like he wants to make you for his own glory? God sees your potential. So quit resisting him. In fact, when Paul was knocked down, here's what Jesus said. Hey, Saul, Saul, why you keep kicking against me? I'm going to use you. And Paul said two things on the ground. Number one, who are you, Lord? Hey, I don't know who you are. The light is shining so bright and I'm spinning so fast. I don't know who it is in front of me, but whoever you are Lord. Didn't know much about it, but he knew he was God. Amen? And number two, what do you want me to do? That's submission. He understood really early that when you get saved, how many know your life is not your own? You've been bought with a price. And our power is in our willingness to submit to his molding on the wheel. The clay doesn't get to control the spin. Or how many times you get blopped. So they call it pounding or blopping. So before they knead it, push it, press it, turn all the thing around and around and around, make you dizzy. They blop it on the cement, sometimes on the cement, Max, in the old potter's house, probably on the cement. Just blop. Has anybody here ever been blopped? I mean, blopped by God. Hey, if you're going to be mightily used, you might be blopped more than once or twice. It's in the blopping to get all the bubbles out, all the arrogance out, all the selfishness out. Shall I preach a little bit? So God wants us to become what he's wanting us to become, and we can't even get on the wheel unless he puts us on the wheel. And even sometimes to be able to celebrate the master's touch at all, we're blown away. How many know the grace of God has already come to us just to be chosen by the potter, just to be clay in the hands of the potter? Because the clay is spinning so fast sometimes, it doesn't even get to enjoy the touch of the master. And I think I've seen people go through church so often, they missed the touch. I said, they didn't come to Christ, they came to church. Can I tell you, it's not church that's going to help you. It's the touch of the master that's going to help you. He's molding and you, making you, and he presses and he blops you and he spins you and he turns you and he does all kinds of things to you. And all you think it is just dizziness. Listen to this. It's a combination of spinning and touching that forms the vessel. So clay spins, all right? The clay spins and the potter molds. So our job is to spin. I don't want you to stand up and spin. If you were a fun bunch, I'd make you. But I don't want to upset nobody. You'd fall down and it'll be my fault. But the clay spins and the potter molds. So God does the spinning and he sets the speed that he feels best to spin. His feet just move. He's moving. And you're turning because the shaft is connected. How many know there's a correlation between the spinning and the touching? There's a process going on. And so. To touch without the spin would leave a blemish. You spin that stuff. And the spin without the touch would just be a pandemonium without purposeful formation. He knows where to press you. He knows how to mold you. He has the right tools. How many know the Holy Spirit can help make you in the hands of the potter? And so God is making something beautiful. And the Word is saying we are shaped in the spin cycle. God is making something. And when God gets ready to make us vessels, He puts us in the cycle. It's a spinning environment. And it feels like we're spinning out of control. But can I just, if you don't get nothing else, understand God is in control. Your life may be seeming chaotic, but the victory comes as a result of our submitting to the hand of God to form us into His vessel of honor. We don't get to control it. And the combination, the touch without the spinning could leave a blemish, and the spin without the touch is just pandemonium without purpose. So when God gets ready, He's going to put us on the wheel, not before He needs us, not before He blobs us, not before He needs us some more, not before He puts us on the wheel, plops us on the wheel. And it's not pretty. So we get all dressed up for church and makeup, pretty clothes, and you see who's all the prettiest. Can I tell you, you're just as... Don't make me call you ugly. Don't make me do that. You're just about as much of a lump of clay as I am. But when God's people start thinking that they are special, something special, greater than they ought to be, Paul said, don't ever think of yourself more than you ought. Humble yourself. Take on the mind of Christ. He's the King, and yet He humbled Himself. If we're going to be an instrument of the King, we're going to have to humble ourselves. And part of humility is submitting to the potter. Some of you today are dizzy already. You kind of can't wait till I'm done. But I can't spend very long before I get dizzy too. I like the calm. I went fishing last week with Compassion Link, and they took us to White River down over in Arkansas. And so I'm not really an angler. For me to sit 1 hour in a boat is like a real challenge. But I made the best of it as I cast. Guy said, why are you casting so much? I said, I'm bored to death. Leave me alone, sir. Just leave me alone. He said, Ron, the trout are waiting behind the rock. Okay, they're just sitting still. And I said, I knew I didn't like them fish for a reason. He said, when the current, because he backed the boat up and I'm supposed to cast out there and the current's taking us away. And so the trout's just waiting. And when the shrimp gets by his rock, he might choose to grab it. I said, I cannot believe I'm sitting in a boat waiting for a fish to control my time. But I caught 25 fish. Somebody give God praise. I caught 25 fish to the glory of God. I didn't catch the biggest, and I didn't catch the most. Brother Lednecki, he always wins. But I have a hard time sitting on the wheel. I don't know if you do, but the Word of God is saying God is doing something special. He's doing something special. I didn't enjoy the rapids, but the guide took us to a spot in the river that was slick calm. And that's where I caught most of my fish. God catches most of His fish in the rapids. Do you understand? God likes a little action, okay? He is doing something. I wanted to relax, okay? And if you think that God saved you and thought, well, you're going to heaven, Godspeed. That is not the process. If you're going to heaven, you got some work to do while you're still on earth. He's going to use you. He's going to mold you. He's going to make you into what He wants to make you so He can get glory out of your life. So I didn't like the rapids. I like the peaceful, slick bayous. But God does His best work in the spin cycle. And I think it's out of control, but God is in control. And it seems like His time is always off. Doesn't it always seem like time for God is off schedule? I mean, let's go back to Abraham and Sarah. He waited till they were both unable to have babies because He loves to make us look dumb. So you look at God and say, God, I'm 99. My wife is 99 or 98. I don't know who she was, but she's up there past the age of childbearing. And God says, exactly the time I would like to do the miracle. Because when you can't, God can. God wants to get you to a place in him that when you're spinning and thinking you can't and it's out of control and it's not going to work, he's going to make it work. He's the potter. And it's hard to process in our mind God's timing. We look dumb. We look at having a baby at 99. Whoever thinks of such a thing? And Sarah got ahead of God. Remember that? Because it seemed like God was wasting time. But he waits until Gideon gets his team down to 300 men so he can get the glory. Gideon was like really dizzy and concerned when he got it down to 10,000. Because they had 135,000 Midianites. He started out with 35,000. God said, you have too many, get down. So he got it down to 10,000. And okay, God, all right. Me and you and 10,000, we're going to do this. Nope, not today, Gideon. Almighty man of valor. Hiding in the wine press. You're some sort of man. You're a lump of dirt, but I'm going to use you. So let's get rid of your arrogance. Let's get rid of your strength. Let's get rid of your strategic way, and let's do it my way. And how many know when you do it God's way? 300 men of Gideon took over 135,000 Midianites. No more coming into my field and taking my stuff because it belongs to God. God is the potter. Amen? I am the clay. And so he's in control of what he does with the vessel. He is dependent on how he wants to use it. He decides whether to keep it or what I love about Jeremiah is he said, you are clay in my hands. And when it was marred in my hands, Jeremiah said, then he said, I remade the vessel. I just wish somebody at Oak Grove this morning could help me praise the Lord that he didn't throw the piece of clay away. Is anybody here glad that when bubbles came popping out or blemishes came on the clay, he didn't just chuck it in the graveyard or throw it away, but he said, you're worth more to me. I'm going to remake you. I'm going to reshape you. That's Jeremiah's picture. And so he controls what he does, but I'm glad he decided, like, to keep me. Amen? And not throw me or discard me away. This pot of clay is too messed up. Ron, you're too messed up. Or whatever. You're not worth redoing. And many a potter will take clay, and once it's broken, they'll throw it in the yard and get another piece of clay. But not God. Amen? And he could decide. Make it again. Anybody glad? And then that's what I love about it. And so we can't tell what's happening because all we do is spin. And he controls all the speed. He controls all the process. And he can keep it. He can discard it. He can reshape it. He can remake it. And I'm glad Jeremiah says he chooses to remake it. Let's take a look at Isaiah for just a minute, and we got to go. Isaiah sees it from the clay's perspective. In the middle of the spin, angry clay, bitter clay, says it's not fair. How many ever said to God, it just doesn't seem fair? It's not fair. My mom left me when I was a baby. I'm not saying my mom did, but there's a lot of people who were deserted as a child. It's just not fair. You don't know my story, Pastor. You don't know the abuse I went through. You don't know the trouble I went through. You don't know. And I'm sure you spent some time telling the potter how somebody treated you wrong. My daddy didn't love me, or I'm angry, and I don't like how things are at home. I don't like how things are at church. I don't like how things are on the job. I don't like how things are in America. And if I were the potter, this is the way I would do. You might not have said that intentionally or out loud arrogantly, but I'm certain you thought it as I have. And can I tell everybody here, all of us go through the spin cycle. All of us have moments like that. Job had a moment like that. I mean, look at the guy, a righteous man, lost everything, lost his kids, lost everything. His wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? The potter don't know what he's doing. But yet Job said, no, he formed me from the dust of the clay, and the dust I'll go back. I said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's Job. He understood. I said he understood what I'm talking about today. And I just think sometimes, you know, we get upside down and chaotic and wonder if God knows anything at all. We ask him, why did you let her die? Why did you take her from me? Why now, Lord? Why is America right where she is right now? Why? And God doesn't mind you asking why. As long as you don't get arrogant enough to think you know better. We are where we are because God knows where we are. And there's all kinds of people in different stages and seasons and cycles. But I wanted to teach this today to let you know you only have one job description. Sit on the wheel and hush up. Submit to the potter. Submit to his touch. Submit to his speed. Submit to his shape. Let him do it. Your best job, doing your best at it, is still not enough. I mean, you already figured that much out. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. Nobody might not be able to straighten out this mess. It's God. Hey, listen, if the potter's not in charge of America today, we're really in big trouble. Big trouble. The clay wonders, does the potter have a clue? Isaiah, I love it. Who are you, he said. Clay doesn't question the potter. Did you make yourself? Did you choose to get on the wheel? Kind of like a turtle on a fence post. Turtle can't climb a fence post. And dirt clay can't get on a wheel. You're there where he has you for a purpose. And your potter can choose when. And he can choose you when you were a lump of nothing and he gave you a chance to be something from nothing, to make you whatever he needed you to be. But you resist his hands and get smarter than God. And just because you feel like you're in a spin doesn't mean that you get to question the spinner. I know it's a mystery. I know that some people are going through rough times. But things are not as out of control as you think they are. So what is the attitude of the clay, Pastor? Is to remain contented. If you want a victory, stay on the wheel. If God's not throwing you away, don't throw yourself away. And so the secret is to learn the power of contentment. Contentment is not complacency. Complacency is giving up. Contentment is surrender. Big difference. I'm not surrendering to just anything. I'm surrendering to the hand of the potter. And you can continue in faith. You can continue in confidence. You can continue to dream. Keep pushing forward. And while you're moving in this spin cycle, don't get complacent. The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul said, I learned. Listen, I'm going to say it again. I learned how to be content. When I'm up and when I'm down, I kind of liken it to the marriage covenant. When you do your vows, you know, in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, for richer and for poorer. Can I tell you a secret? God's not poor. Well, I sure am, Pastor. Well, don't worry, he's not. And you're married to the one that owns it all. Come on, how many is hearing me? Are you hearing me? Don't give up on the covenant because you can't see the results. He's not finished yet. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. How many know you're getting ready for your inheritance? It's not yet here, but it's coming if you don't get off the wheel. Somebody shout, stay on the wheel. We remain strong, vigilant, always abounding in the grace of God, trusting the potter and the process. And you say, Pastor, I want that. How do I get that? Learn contentment. When things are up, I'm good. When things are down, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good in the rapids. I'm good in the shallow. I'm good in the deep. I'm good. I'm good. Turn your neighbor and say, I'm good. Turn and say, it's all good. It's all good. That's AG. We're Assembly of God. It's AG. It's all good. Say amen. You like that Assembly of God thing. I didn't make it up. I wish I did. But I'm going to be okay, right? I learned contentment. How can I find it? Well, I'm turning so fast, it looks like I'm losing. It looks like we're losing. I hear a lot of pessimistic people say, we're losing. Church is losing. The devil's winning. Can I tell you, that's the biggest lie? And you start believing that, you will be defeated before sundown. I mean, you are the head and not the tail. You just don't know you're the head yet because you're spinning on the top. You're dizzy. We're going to have to help you out the door today. Don't you know kids love to spin? My little Ellie, she spins all the time, everywhere. Zoop, all the time. And then Hudson used to love to spin, spin, spin until he fell. How many of you ever done that? If you're an adult and still doing it, we need to meet, okay? But what it looks like, it looks like things are going backwards. It looks like a bad time to start a business. It looks like a bad time to be single. It looks like a bad time to start over. It looks like things are spinning out of control, but they're not. Like a bad time to be an American. But Isaiah says, but you have missed the point. When things forming you, the potter who forms you, and you say you don't understand or he don't understand, look at verse 17, gives the answer. It is not yet a very little while. I want somebody to get this. If you stay on the wheel, stick to the spin, it's just a little while, Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. If you'll hang in there in this cycle, how many know God's about to turn the cycle into a fruitful season if you don't give up? That's the message. Two prophets, two perspectives, one answer. The cedars in Lebanon, known for building the temple of Solomon. And God's saying, I have you on the wheel, and I didn't give up on you. I chose you. I kept you. I put you in the spin cycle. I put you in through the process. So hang in there, because when I get through spinning you and molding you, there's going to be a change in your life. And I think people don't even stay in church long enough to see a change. I mean, how many know you gotta stick with it? I said you gotta stick with it. Oak Grove next year will be, 2026, I believe, will be 80 years old. Hey, we've been here a little while. And it's people like you, oaks of righteousness, that kept this house going. A lot of people could give up on it, but you stick with it. You stuck with it. Are you hearing me? It's seasons. It goes through cycles. Families go through cycles. Marriages go through cycles. Children go through cycles. Churches go through cycles. Cultures go through cycles. But you don't give up. You realize who's in charge. Did you know even nations go through cycles? America's about to be 250 years old. And God's about to either do his most incredible thing with her or annihilate the whole thing. But since he's such a good God, I don't know what your perspective is about our great country and nation, but since she seeded the gospel into all the other nations of the world, since she protected all the other nations of the world, since the men and women of this country have willingly gave up and sacrificed for the protection of not only this country, but all the other country in the world, I don't know that God's ready to give up on her yet. And if that's true about America, how many know it's true for his people? He didn't give up on Israel, yet Israel gave up on him. And if you stay with it, just a little while. I said, just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. Just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Amen? Just hang in there. How many know the king is coming? I said, the king is coming. He's going to take a time to show you the vessel. That vessel is going to be presented before the Lord. Paul says it, vessels of honor and dishonor, meet for the master's use. And when I get through spinning, he said, I'm going to make you fruitful. I'm not spinning to persecute you, Oak Grove. I'm spinning to prosper you, to make you purposeful from faith to faith, from glory to glory. You started out the tail, but when I'm done, you'll be the head. And you're in the cycle. You're spinning, not sinning. Don't give up on God. I wish they'd come and help me close today. It's already done. I'm done for the day. Here's the point. Kneading and spinning can make a clay a bit uncomfortable, but the purpose is in the process. It's a process. Hang in there. Don't give in. Don't give up. Paul said, I'm pressed in on every side, yet I'm not crushed. I'm dizzy, but I'm not in despair. I'm knocked down, but I'm not destroyed. You are the church. You're the people of God. If you give up now, Pastor, I don't know what you're seeing, but like Ezekiel, I see a bunch of dead men's bones. Okay, well, I have to tell you some news. Change what you see. See what God sees. And God gave Ezekiel, the prophet, a command. prophesy over these bones that you say are dead. And you watch me breathe on them again. And they'll become a mighty army. I don't know what you see, but I want to see what God sees. You might see the cedars of Lebanon. God sees a forest. You might see a bare bunch of people with dizzy, walking around like zombies. But God sees a mighty army. I want you to stand with me this morning. I don't know what you're going through. Paul ends up saying, for all things are for your sakes, that we may abound in glory. He's trying to help us break out of our normal cycle. Look what Isaiah is saying. Deaf ears are going to be unstopped. It's normal for deaf ears to be stopped up. But God said, once I'm done with you, I'm going to unstop deaf ears. I'm going to open up blind eyes. How many know God's about to do his greatest work right now? You go home and read verse 17. Finish it out yourself. But your cycle that you're in is about to change. God has you in the spin cycle. Can't have it both ways. You can keep your normal, comfortable, familiar, or you can let God break you out of it and put you in a place you can't even imagine. Somebody's going to walk out of church today and miss the whole point. God wants to bless you because he wants you to fall in love with the potter, not the normal cycle that you're living in. Somebody might be ready to break out of your norm. You got to break out of it to get into the new dimension. So the altars are open. If you got something you're holding on to, maybe you're angry. Maybe you got questions. Maybe you need to talk to God about something very personal. Maybe generational. Maybe you intended to do it yourself. Maybe you caused it. Maybe somebody else caused it. Maybe you don't know what caused it. But I got to tell you, God brought this message to us today to tell you that there's purpose in the process. God's going to open your heart today. If you refuse to be changed, you're not going to be able to release the new season that he has for you. Get out of the spin cycle. Let him talk to you in these altars. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. The altars are open. If you want to pray, we got prayer partners. We'll be glad to pray with you about it. Spinning? Dizzy? Unsure? Have some questions? Come talk to God about it.